Hey guys, welcome back to Nicest Nation. We have a very special show for you tonight. So we are here, literally, what time is it? 9:33 at night, cooking barbecue. We're at the Viserys Conference here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I'm here with Harry and John, and they've been cooking barbecue all day. So speaking of barbecue, how do you think barbecue and pest control just go together like a hand in hand?
Well, the barbecue portion of it, I believe, ties into relationship building. And in business, we all know relationships are key. And there's a certain brotherhood, there's a certain camaraderie, there's a certain bringing folks together and sharing a meal. But it goes beyond that because I feel that some of what's involved with barbecue and the process that's involved, it's like developing a relationship over time. It's not something that you're going to get to immediately. And really, it's worth the wait. And when you have long-standing relationships, they develop over time, just like meat renders over time, and the flavors develop. And if you rush it, or if you try to take shortcuts, then, you know, then it's really obvious.
You know, barbecue really is a casual thing. You know, oftentimes it's an outdoor event. And that's what we're doing here. I mean, we've been literally here. We got here yesterday just to, scope out the whole place and figure out where we're going to put the cookers and where we're going to put the tents and where we're going to put the outdoor kitchen and everything. So, we've been at it since we arrived in Chattanooga yesterday and been literally nonstop. And here we are 36 hours in and we've only had the meat on the cooker for 3 hours. But yeah, what John said is, you know, barbecue's it's a very casual thing. I haven't met anybody that doesn't like barbecue. I mean, they may not like a certain style of barbecue, but as a whole, people enjoy it. And, you know, you can have a lot of different beliefs. You can have a lot of different, backgrounds, but barbecue does bring a lot of people together. I mean, it's hard to have any kind of disagreement when you're, enjoying a really good brisket or barbecue rib, especially when you got sauce dripping down the chin and everything. I mean, it sort of breaks down all kinds of barriers. And one thing it is, it's a great conversation piece because, you know, when you talk about barbecue, what happens is people come up and say, well, I do a little bit at home too. And they just won't talk about it. And they won't talk about some of their ways, how they cook it. And before you know it, you're just building a relationship, which is really what it's all about. I mean, barbecue, it's just that bridge to kind of, you know, in relationship building.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And one thing, you know, earlier today, I was watching you guys prep and get the meat ready. And it was so fascinating because I'm a big fanboy of all the like cooking shows. Like I watched, there's a barbecue show on the Food Network. I can't remember. There was Pitmasters. But there's also another one, I cannot remember offhand what it was, but it just made me so hungry watching that show.
We could have had our own show today. I mean, we literally were trimming brisket today, and on the way down here, John and I were talking about all this meat that we had to trim, because literally, I went to our meat supplier and bought 400 pounds of meat. So I had 200 pounds of pork shoulders and 200 pounds of brisket. And when I was rolling all that meat out to the truck, with the truck was loaded down with coolers of ice, I was just thinking, wow, that's going to be a lot of brisket trimming. And I asked John, I said, how long did this going to take us? And what did you say? You said
it's about 15 minutes per, about 2 hours total.
Yeah, about 2 hours. And literally, it took 2 hours because we wanted to get done at a certain time. And literally, we were done right on the nose. So that was 19 briskets we had. So that's quite an undertaking, but it's going to be good. And the smokers are rolling right now. And we're just waiting and seeing what happens. That's all we're
brisket,
doing.
Brisket's so rewarding. Yeah. Brisket is probably one of the hardest meats to cook. And it requires the most patience. And, you know, I was talking to Harry earlier and we were talking amongst ourselves and cooking brisket it's almost like a life lesson, because if you try to rush through it, If you don't wait on the end results, you're going to cut yourself short and you're going to quit before the miracle happens. And that's a big mistake in brisket is that you put all that work in for 12, 14 hours, but then you don't want to be patient and let it rest, and you don't want to wait for that last bit. And if you don't wait for that last bit, then the miracle doesn't happen. And to me, in our daily lives, things are similar. You know, if we rush and we get impatient, then you don't give yourself a chance to let the miracle happen. And anyway, I know it's a little deep and philosophical, but to me, brisket is a lot like life.
Yeah. When you're in late at night, I mean, you have a tendency to get really philosophical. I mean, because it's
especially,
I mean,
no sleep.
What else is that? The smoke rings are blowing in the night. You got a starry sky. You've got just that gentle breeze and the nighttime air and you can smell the cue right now. It's only been on for 3 hours, but you can smell the fat dripping on into the pit. You know that it's doing what it's supposed to do, which is awesome. One thing, and we'll touch on what John was talking about the process, because the process is so important. Because like I said, you can't rush it. You have to prep things. You have to start with a great cut of meat. You can't just, your end result that you have is going to be dependent on the quality of meat that you start with. So if you start with a crappy piece of meat, you're going to end with a crappy result. But we have some good stuff here. I think we're going to, really put out a good product tomorrow. I hope the folks that all 290 plus people here are going to enjoy it. But I'm going to tell you something. While we were here today, we've had several people come by and visit. In fact, we got people outside right this very minute, just sitting under our tent, just having conversations about
everything but the business.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Everything but the business.
That's what I love about it.
I mean, we're talking about everything, trying to solve all the world's problems too. So, I don't know. It's just really fascinating.
And there's nothing more rewarding than when you put in the work, and it's a labor of love. And when you put in the work, and you genuinely see somebody that's genuinely satisfied, it's a great feeling, and it's a great feeling not only for ourselves, but it's a great feeling to know that you made somebody feel good, that you made a difference, and they're going to walk away with a great memory of the show, and of their experience of dealing with Harry and myself, or we by extension are nicest.
One thing I always wanted to say, that none of this happens without the support of the executive team at NYSIS, because they see what this does. They see that people really enjoy, what we're bringing to the table, literally to the table. And so we've been doing this for a long time, but we've done several cuts just in the past 2 years. I mean, we cooked in a northeaster snowstorm in Connecticut last year, or earlier this year. That's right. That was quite challenging. We cooked in New Jersey last year, cooked in Pennsylvania. These are John's cuts. So we get to use his rig when we cook in the northern markets. So we use in the southern markets, we use my rig. So I get to fly up and help him cook. He gets to fly down and help me cook. So we kind of tag team up each other.
It's good stuff, and it's great, and it's also team building for us. It gives us an opportunity, and not just Harry and I, but the other folks. I mean, on this trip, we have other folks that are helping out and assisting in NYSIS, and it's good because we get to spend time with them. There's other people in the industry that we get to spend time with. It's not, you're not so concentrated on the sale or the business. It's just getting to know each other, and the fellowship that comes with that.
Now, we have a road crew. We have Mike Bonner, who's been with us for 25 years, and Mike has his 30-foot car hauler trailer, and he brought literally the kitchen sink and all the outdoor kitchen appliances, and we even packed our own dumpster too. So that kind of tells you how very specific about how we do things, because oftentimes we're in a very primitive situation where we don't have access to commercial kitchen facilities. And so, but we, but at NYSIS, we do have all that equipment. And whenever we go to an event, we just load up the trailer, and Mike is so gracious to go wherever we need to go. I mean, he traveled to Pennsylvania, New Jersey last year. And so that was just very special. So it gets this opportunity to work with, you know, all of our teammates, just to kind of all work together. And we all have a role, one that just enjoys being around other people. So, and our marketing team as well. The marketing team's here. So they're actually here to kind of help us bring our brand to the forefront, which is special. And well, yeah, and they're gonna eat good too, right? So it's all fun. It's all fun.
You know, that's the only reason I came was to get the barbecue.
You know, I remember in one of our earlier episodes, he mentioned about the, you know, hearing about the barbecue. So now we get to try it. So we think you'll enjoy it, and it's gonna be good. I'm very confident because right now it smells wicked good.
So I've got a question. So this is something, I don't know if you have ever tried, but bridging the gap between the pest control industry and barbecue, I have to ask this question. Have you ever seen like the shows with the other countries and they eat insects and they barbecue insects, they smoke them, they roast them over a spit, they do all this stuff. Have you ever tried barbecued insects?
I haven't tried barbecue insects. The closest thing to I have hand that was not your traditional barbecue was in Peru, and they do guinea pig down there. I mean, you know, guinea pig, and then that was something that's a delicacy there. I just saw it and I didn't try it. I just because I had a guinea pig as a kid, and I just didn't look. I mean, I love cooking pigs, but not a guinea pig. Okay, so. I've not had any barbecued insects, although I did eat a chocolate covered cricket one time. So that's pretty good.
I saw some American roaches in a switch box one time that got cooked. That's about the closest I so
that sounds. So like walking around today, it just seems like even though these are, you know, different companies in the pest control world, it just seems like everyone is kind of unified. Everyone's talking to you like, you know, like there's a cold camaraderie in this industry.
Oh, camaraderie is great. I mean, even among the other manufacturers here, because we all know each other. All right. Of course, I've been with NYSIS for quite a long time, and I've seen all of these manufacturer reps for years. So we've known each other for so long. And so it is a camaraderie. And the fact that you're here at this conference, which is a really cool event. We have 30 plus suppliers here. Everybody knows everybody. Everybody gets along, and they smell the barbecue when they were coming in here setting everything up. So that, of course, they want to find out what's going on. So yeah, it's great.
Yeah, man.
So now I kind of want to transition a little bit, and let's talk about barbecue. So what is your favorite part of the process of making barbecue? Let's start with Harry.
The favorite part of the process, actually, it's the actual cooking part of it, and the waiting game. Okay, so my favorite meat to cook, which is the hardest meat to cook, is actually brisket. Okay, and I think brisket really separates great cooks from good cuts, you know, really, because if you can master brisket, then you pretty much can probably do anything. And thing with, and when John touched on this earlier, is that brisket is really it's a patience, it's a waiting game. You just kind of gotta, you know, let it do its thing. You can't rush it, because all big meats, such as your pork shoulders, your briskets, they go into what's the stall, where the meat temperature just sits there. That is the official rendering phase, when things are just really starting to kind of break down internally. But that meat temperature doesn't fluctuate for 2, 3, 4 hours, just depending on. And you can be panicking, thinking the meat has quit cooking. Right? But when it gets to the stall, that is the most important thing. And that to me is, I'm going to say, okay, we're here. We are here now. We have arrived at the stall. And then you just sort of wait it out. And then eventually it'll start to give in. And then the meat starts to rise and finish cooking. I just love the whole thing. It's tiring. You know, I have two different barbecue pits. I got one where you can basically just set it and forget it thing, which is just great if you want to get some sleep. But cooking on the big rig, which my big rig is named Dolly. His is named
Jolene.
So anyway, but Dolly and Jolene have not cooked together. All right. So Dolly and Jolene's pit masters has cooked together, but not Dolly and Jolene together. But let me tell you, it's the process. It's the staying up on, it's the feeding the pit. Because here with Dolly, you got to feed it every hour. That's a long process. And these are some monster brisket we're cooking, which means it's going to probably take every bit of 16, 17, 18 hours, which we put them on at 5 o'clock earlier today. So it's going to go right up to almost lunchtime before they're done. So that's why we have to kind of keep an eye on things.
And touching on what Harry was saying too, you know, with the meat, that temperature between 145 and 165, that's when the muscle fibers really relax, and that's when the collagen passes through the meat. And the longer that you can stay in that area and stay patient, the bigger the reward is. And the common mistake is like Harry said, you start panicking, and something I did early on with brisket, next thing you know, you start messing with the temperature, and then you start adding a little more fuel. And then before you know it, your fire might be out of control, you're running hot, and now you're rushing. And again, you know, and going back to what I said earlier, it's kind of a big life lesson. Just sit back, let the process work itself. Don't be impatient, because if you're patient with the process, you're going to be very pleased with the results.
Definitely. So, John, so the same question to you, what's your favorite process? I know you sort of, I don't know if you answered a little bit with right there with, you know, the waiting and the slow, but when I was watching you do the trimming today, it looked like you were really enjoying the trimming. You have it down to a science.
I do enjoy taking down a brisket. There's certain things that I look for. You try to make it as aerodynamic as possible. You try to take out the flat spots. You definitely got to take the hard fat cap off. And because that's not going to render down. Believe me, I've butchered quite a few. And I've made some stuff that tastes like shoe leather. And when I first started cooking barbecue, I stuck with ribs and pork because that was easier. You could get to where you wanted to be faster. And it wasn't until I really started to say, you know what? I'm going to learn how to cook brisket. And I'm going to learn how to do it correctly. And that was where the process and then, you know, the taking them down, trimming them up and everything. Yeah, you're right.
He's really good at trimming the briskets. I mean, I know we shared the responsibility of trimming briskets, but secretly, John, I was kind of hoping you said, HB, why don't you let me trim on the briskets? That didn't happen. All right, so I was pacing myself. I kind of persevered and kind of muttered under my breath and go, well, you know, I guess I'll just keep on slicing because John is a expert brisket trimmer. I was in awe of watching, and I look at his, I look at mine, look at his. Mine looks like something the first grader did. His looked like something like a PhD did. So obviously, you know, if you go look at the briskets now, you can say, oh, those are the ones HB did. Those are the ones John did. Because the way they look, how they have their trim, but hopefully, knock on wood, they're going to turn out good. But he really is a fantastic taking down a brisket.
Right. Well, thank you. It's all about the taste, though, buddy. We'll get there.
I will say this, though. When it comes to trimming these briskets, the colder they are, the better, and you better have the sharpest knife you can have. He brought his whetstone down. He's over there just shaving those blades down, make them razor sharp.
You know, I'm still hacking away though. But he, like I say, there's a difference. There's a difference. He's really good at it.
Okay. I used to own a restaurant. I used to own a barbecue restaurant. And in that business, in that service business, you're selling something to somebody that they really don't need. But the reason they're buying it from you, or the reason that they're participating in this exchange, is because it makes them feel good. It gives them comfort, right? Pest control is completely different. You're making somebody feel good, but it's driven by, unfortunately, fear. Because your customers are afraid that the disease, or possibly the loss of food supply, or if it's WDIs, maybe the destruction to their home, right? So there's a lot of folks that come to pest control companies that need their services. It's driven because they feel uneasy. So in pest control, you're actually making you're making people feel at ease. So then you can also take that to a distribution and a manufacturing level, right? So now you got manufacturers that work with distribution, or distribution companies that work with manufacturers, pest control customers that work with distributors. And where I'm going with this is that they give them a certain amount of security. You're going to want to do business with somebody that's not going to let you down. You're going to want to do business with somebody that's going to be there and go the extra mile for you. So it is the relationship part of it is driven out of necessity of you're giving them relief. You're giving them a sense of security, whether it's the distributor to make sure that the pest control operator gets their supplies on time, or whether it's the pest control operator that goes and delivers the service to make the end user feel better, or whether it's the manufacturer that's manufacturing in a consistent and reliable manner and giving products that not only work, but that are also eco-sustainable and also do a lot of other things. So in that way, I really do feel that pest control is a relationship business, because pest control really is built on feelings. So, sorry.
No. Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that is it's so true. So, I mean, it seriously is. I never thought about it like that.
And the pest control business is really, it's very much a people business. They're dealing with the general public. I spent many times, visiting pest control companies over the years, and having relationships with them is very rewarding. You know, they become your friends. They're almost like family in a way. They'll, you know, when you talk about the barbecue thing, every Thanksgiving, yeah, without fail, every Thanksgiving, I get text messages a week before Thanksgiving saying, HB, I am smoking a turkey. What is a foolproof method? I mean, I need something that's going to really make this turkey great. Well, that's kind of I can give you a recipe. And can you follow a recipe? Can you execute it? I mean, anybody can read a recipe, but can you execute what the recipe is suggesting? That's the hard part. So every year, get dozens of text messages about, I'm going to do a brisket this year. Well, I'm going to do a prime rib this year for Thanksgiving, or for Christmas, or for New Year's. Always around the holidays. And it's all of these companies that you have built relationship with over the years, and they know that you're a barbecue guy, and they have a pellet smoker at home, and they want to try that smoked turkey, or they want to do a prime rib. And I say, you know what? Let's just ask Harry, or let's just ask John, and just see what they say.
But think about that. Think about that for a minute. It's the holidays.
Sure.
They've got their family. Mm-hmm. Pretty important time of year.
Absolutely.
And they trust you,
right,
to give them the advice and the guidance.
That's right.
And trust. A man much wiser than I once said, trust leaves on horseback and returns on foot. You know, and trust is a very important thing in that relationship. And they trust you implicitly to make sure that their Christmas dinner is going to be top notch.
Yeah, and when they trust you, I mean, what greater, responsibility is that? I mean, that's absolutely something that I don't take for granted. You know, when someone trusts you, you said that's really special.
And getting to relationships, going back to barbecue and relationships and where we kind of started with this, and the trust is the key factor.
Yeah. And like I said, we've been cooking for a long time. We've cooked in a lot of different areas of the country, all over the country. I've been cooking for years at NYSIS, and really it's just braced down a lot of barriers that are out there. And maybe those barriers were never there to begin with, but when you bring the big rig out, I mean, they know, oh, here comes the big rig. Oh, he's serious. We're going to have some good stuff today. Well, then that's very, it's special. We're going to have a good time. We're bringing this to you because we want to just do something for you. All right. It's without respecting anything in return. We just want to do something for you. And I think people really enjoy that.
Yeah. And you just said something key there, because relationships are not quid pro quo. All right. It's not, I do this for you and you do this for me. True relationships where you really build your relationships that last, you do because you want to do. And eventually it comes back around to you, but you don't keep score. If you're keeping score in a relationship, then you're heading down the wrong path. You just do because you want to do. You want to do the extra, and it eventually will come back to you.
Well, I will say this, Jason. This has been an amazing conversation, but I got to break it to you. Dolly is yelling at me right now. She wants to be fed.
Oh, yeah. She needs some fuel.
I'm going to have to go out there and throw a log on the fire.
I figured you guys wouldn't be able to stay long, but I want to thank you for the opportunity to sit down and talk to you about this barbecue, because I just can't wait to try it tomorrow. And just the more I think about it, the more I want it. So,
I'll close with this. And I think John would agree with this. The cooking part of it is the easy part of it. It's the logistics behind the scenes. It's the before. It's the putting the food out on the table. So you see us and say, hey, those are the cuts. But we have a pretty amazing team around us that's going to be springing into action, because in the morning is when things really start to happen. Because we got to put dining room buffet line together, the chafing trays out there, the plates, the knives, the forks, the table coverings, all of that stuff that doesn't have nothing there. Somebody's got to do that. And unfortunately, it's not going to be us, because we've been up 36 hours and right around 5 in the morning, we're going to be talking gibberish, which is a few hours from now. So we're not going to make sense.
We couldn't do this without the love and the support of NYSIS. We really couldn't. And everybody involved. And it's...
100%. And I'd say, go back to the support of our leadership staff, Lee Barron, Valerie Brumman, our CEO and CFO. They see this for what it is. And they say, hey, guys, go do your thing. So that's really... And I want to make sure that I recognize them, because that is very important, because many companies may not be something. They may not see the value in this. They say, oh, that's just an expense. Well, it is an expense, but it's something that we give back to the community.
Yeah.
But I need to go put some wood on the fire.
Real quick, though. You know what I'm excited about tomorrow besides the barbecue? Since I'm the new guy, only 4 months in, I think it is now, I get to go and meet all these people that I've never met. And I'm really excited about that, because I love to meet new people.
These are great folks here. It's going to be a full house tomorrow. We're sitting in an empty room right now. I mean, everything's just nice and quiet. All the tables and chairs are perfectly lined up in a uniform fashion. But tomorrow, this place is going to be packed to the gills, and
we got to be ready for
organized chaos.
Organized chaos. Amen to that. Amen to that.
All right. Well, thanks, guys, again for coming on. And I look forward to next time, because I know there's going to be some more shows coming up. We got some stuff on the horizon. So Thanks again. And yeah, we'll see you next time on Nicest Nation.
Great. Thank you.